Revelation chapter 4, verses 1 to 11. Revelation chapter 4, we'll just give people a chance to turn there and get a Bible as well. Thank you. Great, so if we could do that, please.
Revelation 4. After this I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. And the voice I had first heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, "Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this." At once I was in the Spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and ruby. A rainbow that shone like an emerald encircled the throne. Surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders. They were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning, rumblings, and peals of thunder. In front of the throne, seven lamps were blazing. These are the seven spirits of God. Also in front of the throne, there was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. In the center, around the throne, were four living creatures, and they were covered with eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion, the second was like an ox, the third had a face like a man, the fourth was like a flying eagle. Each of the four living creatures had six wings, and was covered with eyes all around, even under its wings. Day and night they never stopped saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and say, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being."
Hey guys, so what you just saw was an example of the video Bible. Now what we'd like...
Thanks be to God. Well, let's pray, shall we, as we come to God's... Father God, thank you so much for these words from Revelation, Father, and from all your words from the Bible. And we pray, Father, that you'll help us to see Jesus more clearly this morning because of what you are telling us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're back in the book of Revelation today. And last year, we were looking at chapters 1 to 3, and there we saw Jesus. But to say we just saw Jesus is underplaying it, because actually we saw the almighty and majestic and divine Jesus talking to Christians from seven different churches about some of the struggles that they had. And I don't know if you remember, but these Christians nearly 2,000 years ago, they were struggling with the reality that some people were being nasty to them because they were followers of Jesus. Some of the Christians were struggling to love Jesus the way they knew they should. Some of these Christians were just so weak. I'm not talking about a lack of real muscles there. I'm talking about a lack of spiritual weakness. And it was true for them. But doesn't it sound like you and me as well? So as persecuted, weak and struggling Christians, what did these people need to hear? What did they need? Well, before we answer that question, we're going to go back and just think about these weak and suffering Christians, because that wasn't the only problems they had. Because they also lived in the Roman Empire. An empire that looked so strong. Are you ready, Caris? There was Roman soldiers in the streets. They looked so powerful. There was Roman eagles being displayed. There was Roman coins in the shops. There was a Roman government. So powerful. And these Christians, the church, it looked so powerless in the face of the Roman Empire. But again, it's not just them, is it? Christians, the church looks so weak in the face of modern society, in the face of technology or of governments or of the military. Look at us this morning. At first glance, we look weak. At second and third glance, we look weak. And we come back to our question, what do we need? How does God want to help us this morning? Well, the first way he wants to help us is by telling us this. He wants us to see God. See God enthroned in the universe. Please look with me at chapter 4 and verse 1. After this I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven, and the voice I had heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, "Come up here, and I will show you what you must take place after this." Just like a trumpet with a voice. It sounded like a trumpet, but he said, "Come up here and I will show you what must take place after this. Come up into heaven and see." And he's talking to the Apostle John here. Come and see, but see what? Verse 2. "At once I was in the Spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it." In this vision, with God the Spirit's help, the Apostle John sees what? Something that somebody can sit on. Was it a sofa? Was it a camping chair or a stool? No, it was a throne. At the very center of heaven is this majestic throne. And in verse 2, who do we get told is sitting on the throne? Have a look. Who do we get told is sitting on the throne? This isn't a rhetorical question. Do you want someone to shout it out? Jasper and Ruby, and what did I hear over here? And there are 24 elders around the throne. It says someone, doesn't it? Now, we know that someone's God, and that's going to become very obvious in a moment. But in the moment, it just says someone. And if someone is sat on a throne, what does that tell you about a person? If someone is sat on a throne, what does it tell you about the person who sat on it? Just generally speaking, what does it tell us? And it could tell us that it's God. What else? What happens if it's a throne in the country? Say it's a throne in England. What does it tell us? Sorry? A king. It might tell you you've got a king or a queen. Does it tell you anything else about the person sat on the throne? They're important, that's right. They might be powerful. Do you think they're going to be poor? No, they're going to be rich, aren't they? When someone sits on a throne, it tells you something about them. Well, as we think about what God is saying this morning, is that what God means when he tells us about a throne in the Bible? Well, let's look on. Verse 3. "And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and ruby. A rainbow that shone like an emerald encircled the throne." The someone who sat on this throne looked like jewels, like diamonds. And when you look at a diamond, light bounces on it and through it. Here we go. That's a diamond. And you can see how the light changes because of the different parts of the diamond. But in John's vision, it wasn't just one dazzling diamond. It was the person sat on the throne, dazzling and priceless. And you might be thinking, how can a person dazzle? You might give yourself a good wash, but you don't dazzle, do you? It's a little confusing. The someone sat on the throne, it looks like a jasper, it looks like a jewel. But then we go back to verse 3 again. Verse 3. "And if the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and ruby, a rainbow that shone like an emerald encircled the throne." Around this throne was a magnificent rainbow. And what sort of colours are in a rainbow? Does anybody know what sort of colours are in the rainbow? Do you know any?
Red, orange, yellow,
green. Whoa! I think someone... Has she been doing it at school this week? But yeah, that's it, a rainbow's colourful. But then, does anyone know what the... I had to look this up, what the colour of an emerald is. I'm a man. I don't know what colour. It's apparently, it's green. Yes, thank you. I looked it up. I did remember, though. But it's green. But that's a... It's this rainbow surrounding the throne. But again, it's a bit confusing, because how can a rainbow be a rainbow with all the colors, but then also be shining like green? How can it be green but all those colors? And it's this magnificent picture, but it's also a little confusing. And then in verse 4, we get told about 24 thrones surrounding this big central throne with all these elders sat on them with crowns on their heads. And we're to think, who are these elders? Are they Christians? Are they angels? And I'm not sure we can be sure about which they are. But we're told they're angels. And they're clearly there for the one who sits on the big throne in the middle to glorify him. And then we look at verse 5. Verse 5. From the throne came flashes of lightning, rumbling and peals of thunder. Stopped. Don't worry. They're stopped now. Now, sometimes when people hear thunder, especially if you're inside and you know you're safe, it's quite nice, isn't it, hearing the thunder and perhaps the rain coming onto the windows. But for some people, it's a bit scary. Many years ago, I was on a bike ride in France. I was going along a river in the middle of a massive forest, and it was beautiful. But then the clouds rolled in, and the thundering and lightning started, and I've never experienced a storm like it. We had no shelter. We had no waterproof, so I was a typical 18-year-old, very unprepared. So we were soaked, cold, and we were scared. And the last thing you want to be surrounded by in a thundering lightning storm is trees and water. It wasn't a comfortable place to be. But here in Revelation 4, the thunder and lightning wasn't coming from the sky. It was coming from the throne. All a little too close for comfort, showing power and authority. And then in verse 6, we get told about how the Holy Spirit is there, and we get told about the dazzling sea. And then halfway through verse 6, I'm going to start reading again halfway through verse 6. In the center, around the throne, were four living creatures, and they were covered with eyes in front and behind. The first living creature was like a lion. The second was like an ox. The third had a face like a man. And the fourth was like a flying eagle. Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under its wings. Now, the picture we've had so far has been really mind-blowing, but now it just gets weird. During the reading earlier, we got shown these two pictures. We got shown that one with the elders around the throne, and then we got shown this one. Those are the winged creatures. Now then, now those pictures, they're trying to do the best they can to draw what's happening in that scene. And it's a great attempt. But any of those pictures, can you go on to the next slide, please, Travis? There's no next slide. All right, and the one after that? All right, I messed it up. Right, go back to the previous one then, please. Now, that's a great attempt at drawing the picture, but look at your Bible, and how is your Bible a bit different to that? How is the picture we get told in the Bible a bit different from that we get shown there? Any thoughts, anybody? Let's go on, Poppy. You got a thought? But it's not green, is it? It's not very colourful, and you can see the rainbow, but the rainbow isn't green. And so they're trying to draw it, and you can understand what they're doing, but it's just so hard to draw. And you can't, can anyone hear any thunder? You can't hear the thunder, can you? And what about on the next one? Next picture. Well, how are they're trying to draw what's in the picture, but how is it perhaps a little different from what we actually read in the Bible there? Any thoughts? You might be missing some eyes. Are the eyes just on the wings, or should they be on the bodies as well? Any other thoughts? It seems to be missing some wings. Now, as I say, I'm not blaming the person who drew this. It's just such a crazy picture to try to draw. Great artists over the years have tried to paint parts of this vision from Revelation 4. And there's some great pictures out there from some amazing artists, but they will always fall short of John's vision. Because Jesus was giving the Apostle John a glimpse of heaven, the throne room of heaven. And it was so magnificent, it was so brilliant, John was just struggling to describe it, to understand it. He was trying to describe, if you like, the indescribable. Now we're about to get told in the next verses that it's God himself sat on the throne. But do you see what God is doing here? You Christians, whether it's the Christians in Revelation, who this book, letter was first written to, Christians today, we might be having a hard time following Jesus. We might be at school where it can sometimes be a hard place to be a Christian. Our health worries might be consuming us and Jesus gets pushed out. Our prayers might seem so feeble. We feel so weak. We are so weak. What does Jesus say to John? Don't look at yourself. Don't look at your own problems or concerns. But look at the magnificent God sat on his throne. See God. And put your worries and concerns to one side, not by forcing them out, by focusing your mind and your heart on God. See God. And the more we see him, the more clearly we see him, the more our worries and concerns will diminish. They won't disappear because they're real. But your awesome God has got you. In a moment, I'm going to ask everyone to close their eyes. And I'm just going to read some of those verses again. And I want in your mind, I'd like to ask you in your mind's eye to see God sat on his throne. If you like, please close your eyes as I read it. At once I was in the Spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and ruby. A rainbow that shone like an emerald encircled the throne. Surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders. They were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their head. From the throne came flashes of lightning, rumbling, and peals of thunder. In front of the throne, seven lamps were blazing. These are the seven spirits of God. Also in front of the throne, there were what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. If you know and love Jesus, that is your awesome God, your heavenly Father. You are one of his children. And that awesome God has got you in his hands. See God. Please open your eyes again if you're not already. We're just going to stop for a moment and sing together. But I'm going to ask us to remain seated. And we're going to sing a song that's new to us, but it's actually over 40 years old. Some of us might have come in. It's very simple. It's very repetitive. Our God is an awesome God. But it'd be good for us to sing, to be able to carry on focusing on seeing God, on our awesome God. So we're just going to sit where we are, and it'll go through a number of times, and just sing along as you want. If you'd just like to carry on in prayer, you're most welcome. Let's sing together.
Heaven above with wisdom, power, and love above.
But briefly, just a word for the adults, children, just very quickly. This is an all-age service today, and so for in time to preach in a way that is useful and accessible to the younger, to and adults as well. But if it would just been the adults today, we would have also been turning to Ezekiel 1, where we get this picture of all these animals with the eyes and the different faces. We'd have been turning to Daniel 7, where you've got the throne room of God and the Son of Man being sat there. We'd have been turning to Isaiah 6, again, the throne room of God. All Old Testament passages that Revelation 4 picks up. And please do have a read, and as you do this week, may the eyes of your heart be further widened as you see God even more. Well, back to Revelation today. We've had see God, and next we're going to have worship God. And that is exactly what is happening in verse 8. Please look with me at chapter 4 and verse 8. Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under its wings. Day and night they never stopped saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And then you have the 24 elders. And verse 11, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being." Now we're just going to have a little quiz to help us get this a little bit more. So, I've got a new toy. Right, so here we go. We've got some. Can you just put up the next slide? Because I can't remember where I... Right, here we go. So, this is the red one. I'm just going to put that there. That's the red one. So in a moment, we have this quiz. You're going to have to go to the right colour and press the button. Here we've got the yellow one. Why did it sound like that? They just do. And we've got the blue one here. If you think the answer's going to be blue. Right, there we go. And the green one is going to be on the welcome desk. Now, you two behave yourself, right? Right, and there we go. Right. So, here we go. We've got a little quiz. So, children, in a moment, I'm going to ask this question, and you're going to go to which you think is the right answer. So, we've got the yellow one there, the red one there, the green one there, and the blue one there. And, so, here we go. So, here's the question. Here's the question. So, let's try. So verse 8, we get told this: "Holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." So if you think they're worshipping God because he is weak, go and press the red one. If you think he's worshipping God because he's funny, go and press the yellow one. If you think he's worshipping God because he's powerful, press the green one. And if you think it's because he's slow, come and press the other one. No, which... Well, which one did we have? The green one. It's the first time I've tried this, right? The green one, that's right. He's powerful. As it says in verse 8, Almighty. The throne is impressive, and God who is sat on the throne is even more impressive. Right, the next question. Now, do we think these creatures are worshipping God because he only gets busy on Sundays? That's the red one. If you think if the Bible verse says it, if it's busy all the time, it's the yellow one, press the yellow one. If you think he's only busy at Christmas and Easter, press the green one. And if you think he's only busy after sleep, press the blue one. Go on then. Go on, Hosanna. What do you think it is? Hey, there we are. Definitely the yellow one. That's right. That is right. The creatures were worshipping God because he was and is to come. God has and will always exist. And he's getting busy all the time. Now, next one. Now, we're going on to the next verse now, I think. Is there anyone, Caris? Yeah. Right, so here's that next verse. "You are worthy, O Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being." So here, were they worshipping God because he made the coffee after church? Because he made everything as the yellow one. If he made it possible for huge cathedrals to be built, green. And if he made me, it's blue. But it's... You all went for the yellow one, didn't you? Yes. And again. Afterwards, we might have a little bit of noise after the service. I'll leave those out. Don't blame me. But it's God who has made all things possible. God, yeah, he's made it possible to have coffee. He's made it possible for huge cathedrals to be built. But he's made everything. We wouldn't be alive today if it wasn't for God. He is that majestic, that awesome. You can sit down now, guys. Thank you, though. You can do it afterwards, don't worry. We see God, and when we do, we worship God for who he is. Now, let's get something clear at this point. God doesn't need our worship. It's not as if we don't worship God, God doesn't have a bad hair day. Oh, I didn't get enough worship today. Instead, you know who's having the bad hair day? We are. Well, I'm not, but you know what I mean. We're having the bad hair day because we don't worship God the way he deserves. And we, instead of focusing on him, what do we focus on? We focus on our own problems, our concerns, and how we're going to fix them, or at the very least, put up with them. We so easily put all the emphasis on ourselves. When God knows, us seeing God, us worshipping God, is not just the right thing to do, it is the right thing to do, but it's also the best thing for us to do. And even more so when suffering, because we're Christians like they were in Revelation. Even more so when the world around us feels so powerful and us so weak. Revelation 4, God isn't weak or ineffective or indecisive. He is awesome. See him, worship him. Let's pray. Father God, we can't see right now. If we'd been around 2,000 years ago, we would have seen Jesus. We would have seen God himself. And he was impressive, but he also was human. But Father, thank you for showing us today, Lord, just blowing our minds, just with your throne room and who you are and what it's like to worship you and just the majesticness of it all. And Father, help us to see you. Help us to worship you day by day. Yes, it's the right thing to do, Father, but because it's also good for us. You know that. It's the way you made us. You made us to worship you. It is good for us. And we pray, Lord, help us to trust in that reality. Even in those times when we just don't want to, or can't, don't feel like we can be bothered. Bring our eyes and our hearts back to you and your Son, we pray. Amen.